Welcome to the Get Balanced Podcast with Dr. Donnie. If you're a firefighter, law enforcement officer, or emergency medical professional who would like to improve your family relationships, your physical and mental health, and want to have success at work and at home, well, this show is for you. Welcome to the Get Balanced program. Let's get started.
Today, I have Chief of Police Chad DePew, and also we're going to talk about the nonprofit he runs called Heroic Deeds, and a very special guest here. And this is the special purpose of this podcast. I know for my listeners out there, it's been a while since I've been out here talking about work-life balance and self-care and all of that. You know that I sprinkle my faith into it, but this one's going to be more faith-centered. And that's why we have Chad on here today. And welcome to the show, Chad.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Dr. Donnie.
Oh, absolutely. We've gotten to know each other, and I do call you Chad, and please call me Donnie. There are times when I should call you Chief DePew. So I'm just realizing
that was not one of those times.
Well, I realize that when I'm actually recording sometimes. Mm-hmm. But if you would, Chief, tell us a little bit about your background. I know, you know, you're chief of police of the Kettering Hospital System up there in my where I used to live in Ohio. But let me let you share a little bit with our guest.
Yeah, here in your old stomping grounds in the Dayton, Ohio area. See, I'm currently the police chief for the Kettering Health Hospital Systems here in Southwest Ohio. Well, my 24th year of law enforcement, I've been blessed with a career greater than I ever could imagine. Just got to do some wonderful things. Of course, meet a lot of good people, and been blessed to be a police chief of two different agencies now. Been with the hospital system for 7 years, and phenomenal organization, phenomenal team that I have there. You know, it's funny because a lot of people don't necessarily think of hospitals or hospital systems, for that matter, having their own police departments. But in Ohio, it's been, it was written into state law in 2006 in Ohio. And certainly in light of some really tragic events over the weekend, we can see the reason why that's so prevalent. Violence in healthcare is going up, and our hospital police officers just have a wonderful opportunity to keep those teams safe. So anyway, again, just had a blessed career in law enforcement. Our nonprofit is Heroic Deeds. We started that. I say we, my brother and I, who's a medically retired sheriff's deputy from out in California, started that back in 2021, really just in response to what we're seeing locally and nationally in first responders. You know, we know that first responders, of course, at that time, were a year into COVID. We were a year into rioting, protesting, defund the police movement. All these things that were negatively impacting the well-being of first responders, causing them to just leave the field in mass droves at the time. And of course, those who weren't leaving the field were dealt with copious amounts of overtime, managing all the trauma, and just some of the, you know, volatile pushback they felt they're experiencing in society. And so as we're thinking about that, just kind of commiserating, to be honest, we start asking ourselves the questions, well, what could we do about that? And although we didn't have the answer, we knew Christ was the answer. You know, we recognize there's so many great officer wellness initiatives out there on the police side, the fire side, for public safety in general. And those things are all great and fine and well. And we don't discourage people from attending those things. But where ours is different is we address the very important, what we believe is the foundation for total wellness, is having a foundation in faith or a foundation in Christ. So that's the gap we try to fill through our nonprofit, faith-based training, wellness, and education for first responders.
And with that, Chief, tell us, I'll let you share a little bit of the story of how we met.
Yeah, so we are approaching, literally next week, our fourth annual Responders in Faith Conference. So our Responders in Faith Conference is our biggest annual event, and we've held that, again, this is year four. We've had a phenomenal turnout here locally in the Dayton area. Normally we see 200 plus first responders, not only attending, but they're bringing their spouses, their significant others, family members to attend with them. So, you know, part of just, you know, my ongoing training and education, and just part of my partnerships with other like-minded organizations, is I attend a very reputable and well-known training event here in this area. through another nonprofit locally called Brothers Helping Brothers. So give them a quick shout out. Those guys
Absolutely.
do
We got
phenomenal.
to give
Yeah.
Jimmy and Nick a shout out there.
Don't, they're firefighters. Don't tell them I said too many nice things about them because,
And
go straight to their ego.
speaking
But
of
they
their
do
conference,
phenomenal. Yeah.
they're holding their 2025 conference on October 15th and 16th, 17th of 2025, and that is the see the Firefighter Health and Wellness Conference, I think is the official title of that of their conference there. Yeah.
Yeah, they do a phenomenal firefighter wellness conference. And really, me attending their events taught me a lot about the firefighter side. Obviously, my background and my world is in law enforcement. So I've really learned a lot through them. And so as I was there this past October, we had a booth set up for our nonprofit there. But one of the biggest benefits for me beyond talking to the attendees is just getting be able to hear, who they bring in. And so it was one morning I hear this speaker, this Dr. Donnie guy, and talking about work-life balance and said a couple of things that made me wonder, like, huh, this guy's kind of talking about faith up there. And if I had to bet, I would say this guy's faith is his foundation. And so anyway, after the break, I came up and introduced myself to you and honestly just kind of hit it off. I think it was kind of one of those God moments where I was, drawn to learn more about you. And you shared that you were really looking for opportunities to integrate more of your faith in your presentations. And here we are, been able to become friends and learn more about the work that we each do. And earlier you said, sprinkle faith in what you do. We want you to pour it out or dump it out when you come to our
Yes.
event next week, because that's what we're all about.
No, that's what we're going to do, right? Bold as a lion.
All right.
Yes.
Exactly.
And you know that brings me to, and it, you know, it was a godly moment, and it's a remarkable moment because it is something that I've always been looking for, and I didn't know it was there, and all of a sudden here I am. I'm actually completing the workbook for my portion of the conference, Total Wellness Through Christ, and sending it off to the printer, a great organization that supports me is a group called WHA Insurance out of Eugene, Oregon. And so they do the printing for me, and we think about work-life balance. You talk about how I mentioned I sprinkle it in, and for those any new listeners out there, work-life balance. What I've been training and research and all that I do is essentially, I advocate that the greater we take care of ourselves, our physical health, our mental health, our social health, and our spiritual health, the more effective we can be with our families and in our career. And that's and I've always put that out there, and it's the models that my research is based off of. And then here's an opportunity to where instead of sprinkling, as you mentioned, pour it out. I can really and look at that, and then I start thinking, well, wait a minute. Christ is in our physical wellness. It's just not the spiritual health of us. It's actually intertwined into everything we do, who we are as a human. And as a spiritual being also. So that's where it's like this shift to be able to do that is I'll tell you, I won't probably be sleeping the night before because I'm truly that excited to be presenting this and taking them through the lessons, but just with a Christ-centered focus. And really looking forward to that. And we talked about work life, or I talk all the time about work life balance, but let's talk a little bit about you personally. You don't live by yourself, do you?
Oh no. So very busy job and career that I'm blessed with, but have a great family, wife, and we got three little ones. We got a 2-for-1 deal. So we got 7-year-old twins and a 5-year-old to keep us moving, keep us on our toes. School, sporting events, piano lessons, all those things. It's kicked into high drive already.
Oh yes, yeah. I remember my children are older, but I remember those days, that's for sure. And I also wanted to ask you though, Chief, about how tell us your little bit of your path with Jesus. And how did you do you intertwine it in have you with your career, and what's it like to be a law enforcement officer and then also a chief? With that identity, you identify yourself as a Christian, How does that play out?
Sure, yeah. It's a loaded question, right? So, I was very fortunate to grow up in a good Christian home. Both parents were just phenomenal examples. Our dad, he has spent his career on the probation side. So from a young age, saw him as a probation officer, then spent the latter part of his career as an executive director of a correctional facility. So he worked as far as public safety and the corrections and probation side of the house. And probably from a young age, I just always knew I wanted to be in law enforcement. I would say certainly by middle school age, like I just knew what I wanted to do, and I just always wanted to be a cop, even from a young age. And certainly, my dad was a good example for that. And there's such tremendous value in growing up in a godly home, where parents were just setting that example for us, were sh telling us right from wrong. They certainly, by no means, they didn't insulate us. We weren't kept in a bubble. I just remember candid conversations at a young age, just about our faith and about the world and those things. And I got to see my parents. I got to see their walk match their talk, and that was so important, so impressionable, I think, as a young age. And that really helped me as I just grew up, and certainly as I became in law enforcement. From a leadership perspective, I got to see firsthand my dad in those roles, in his leadership role. I got to see him. There are times, visiting him at work, or touring the facilities, or what have you. I just would see those positive interactions, and I saw how he never compromised in his faith, regardless of which hat that he wore. So it was really impressed upon me at a young age. And there's a phenomenal book called Spiritual Survival for Law Enforcement. And in that book, it talks about how law enforcement is truly a calling, and whether we as law enforcement officers recognize it or not, it's a calling from God, because there's no greater service than to love God's children. And as law enforcement officers, that's what we're doing. And certainly that applies to public safety in general. So I think I really had that calling at a young age. And I've seen people take different paths, certainly getting into the field, because you're met with just the worst that society has to offer. You're working next to some of the best people in the world, but who also have been impacted by trauma and PTS, things that they've seen, people that have been beat down by the world, truth be told, because this job takes a toll on you. And as a young officer, there's just so many different temptations to not walk that narrow path. But I was, again, I just credit to being blessed and being a good Christian home, that I made a decision early on that wasn't going to be me, that I wanted to stick to my faith, stick to those principles, in big ways and small. It's funny, I've always just had a heart for people. Even, there's some people I've wrestled over the years that just kind of the worst of the worst. But I recognized early on, a lot of people I was interacting with were good people who made dumb mistakes, or having bad days, things to that measure. So I always kind of had a heart for them, because I knew that they were just lost. And I think God's always humbled me with the attitude of, where would I be without my faith? I may be back at that cruiser with them if I wasn't a Christian. So I always tried to keep that as my perspective, that I'm not better than anybody else. And certainly without my faith, I would likely be right there with them. It's funny, I remember as a young officer, not being so bold in my face, but trying to do small things. I was joking with my pastor the other day, or reminding him of this anyway. Going back, I don't know, a couple decades ago when I started back in 01, but we had cassette tapes in our car, play cassette tapes. And so I'd buy cassette tapes of my pastor preaching at church. And every time I arrested somebody, I'd play one of his messages on the way to jail. I just wanted the last thing they heard before they went to jail to be, the gospel being preached.
How
So in
about
small
that?
ways like that. Yeah. I don't know if it ever made a difference or not, but a lot of them certainly heard it. And, just more so with my peers. I've always tried not to be, a pushy person when it comes to my faith. I live by my convictions, and I hope a lot of the people I worked with over the years knew what I stood for. But I think we just have to be careful with first responders, especially, that we don't try to be too pushy, too overzealous, that we need to just walk alongside our peers to say, hey, you know what, I struggle with this stuff too. What helps me through it is read my Bible, praying, going to church. Just be very clear that we're walking alongside our peers, because being a Christian doesn't make us better than anybody else, right? So I think that's so important, especially in the first responder world, because we deal with so much and we see so much. We become so cynical, become so jaded by just what the world has to offer. If we sense somebody's being disingenuine, it kind of turns us off. So I really tried throughout my career to just have my make sure my walk matched my talk. And honestly, it wasn't until the latter part of my time with my previous agency, really about the time we started Heroic Deeds, I was just starting to feel a strong conviction of how is what I've done, is it enough? Because I think it became a challenge for me, especially as I promoted through the ranks, going from officer to sergeant and police chief. You know, as you progress, there becomes some lines between you and your staff. Some is necessary just because you now have that relationship of a supervisor and subordinate. I think I don't think I was as bold as I should have been as I progressed. You know, as especially as a police chief early on, I felt I needed to try to be careful not to try to interject myself too much in their personal affairs, other than trying to be a support system for them. But I think I was certainly not as clear or as bold as I should have been in sharing my faith, because I guess maybe it was just part of spiritual warfare. I didn't want people to feel that I was using my position or my authority to try to push my faith on anybody. And that may have been a wrong way to look at it, but certainly that's how I felt at the time. So we started Heroic Deeds. That was one of my big, I'd say, motivations, honestly, convictions. So my brother and I are co-founders. His was very much from a point of lived in trauma experience, testimony of Christ pulling him out of those dark places he was in. And a lot of mine just really out of conviction of, have the people I've walked alongside for 20 years at that point, have I done enough to share the gospel with them? And I couldn't answer yes. I just couldn't. And so now we've created Heroic Deeds to be that platform to share our faith and openly talk about it, because we're unapologetic about it. Again, we're not, when somebody walks in the doors at our conference, we'll have a good blend next week of people that are churched and unchurched, and but every one of them feel welcome. They'll feel comfortable because we're very realistic about it. We don't try to pretend that a life of faith is magically will make your life better. As a matter of fact, being a Christian is really hard sometimes. Spiritual warfare is very real, and it's not always easy to live by your convictions and have faith. But we know the promise that Christ has for us, that He will provide that peace, He will provide that love and understanding that we all desperately need, especially first responders. And I've shared this before in various, actually, with Jim and Nick, with their podcast, I talked about how I've heard several times in my career of, how can you be a police officer and be a Christian? And I truly just never understood that, because I don't know how I could survive otherwise. I don't know how I could have gone through this job, this career, this calling without being a Christian, because we do see so much. We see death, we see destruction, we see trauma, just things that we can make absolutely no sense of. And when we're dealing with those situations, especially a common experience, certainly trauma first responders share, is just the death of children. That's never easy. And if anybody ever becomes numb to that, that's a big problem. And we can never make sense of that. And as a Christian, I can't make any more sense of it than anybody else. But my belief is that God has a plan, and that God will be glorified somehow through those tragedies. And that's the hope that I hang on to. And that's what's helped me, survive. It's that piece the Bible talks about that passes all understanding. And that's what the message that we want to impart these first responders coming, that there is a better way, that God doesn't want us to be a victim of our circumstance or a victim of the badge, that He wants us to be, more than conquerors, because He provides a healing for us that we cannot achieve otherwise. So that's a
No.
big part of my, conviction and calling for what we do now, is just to make sure that the men and women, not only the ones in my immediate circle that I've been able to work around over the years, but every police officer, firefighter, corrections officer, dispatcher that I've never met, like I want to make sure that we're sharing the gospel with them in a meaningful way, recognizing what they're going through, recognizing their challenges, recognizing it's not easy, that sometimes things just don't make sense. But if I truly believe these things to be true, if we don't share them, then shame on me and shame on us for not doing that.
No, that is. Thank you very much for all of that. I wanted to ask that question to you directly. Is that part about the first responders that are, they struggle with their faith because of all that they see? And you answered it, and it's because it can turn some the other way. Like, how could there be a God when he how does he allow this to happen?
That's the question right there. If God is real, why do bad things happen to good people?
Yeah.
And I got news for I can't answer that better than anybody else can. But it's that foundation, it's that trust, it's that hope that all things come together for the glory of God. And God doesn't make mistakes. And we'll never make sense of some of these things here, but we just have to trust and have that hope and that larger plan that, if as a Christian I believe God created this universe, certainly these things that we worry about aren't beneath him. These worries we have, these anxieties we have, none of them are beneath him. The Bible says that he has the hairs on our head numbered, right? So none of these things are beneath him. And even things that I can't make sense of, I just trust that he does.
Yes, that's very, very good. And when you talked about, like, with your career and things, would the word resilience keeps, it's a very popular word in law enforcement as well as firefighting. And, as we need to build that up and always looking for ways to increase resiliency, not just with our current staff, but new recruits, academy classes, et cetera. Would you say that during your career, your faith builds resiliency for you?
100%. And honestly, that's the only thing I've consistently done. There's been times, peaks and valleys with other things like being physically fit, with being a healthy weight, with maintaining that work-life balance. Throughout my 24 careers, it's certainly been a roller coaster, ups and downs. Sometimes I've done well on those things. Sometimes I've done really bad on those things. But the one thing I've tried to be consistent on is my faith, and I haven't always done well at that. I haven't always been as faithful as I should, or carried out the convictions that I have as strongly as I should. But that's been my baseline, right? That's at least been the one thing that I've never completely let go of or never completely thrown to the wayside. There were times where I say probably low points of my faith where I'm not, not praying or read the Bible like I should, but I'm at least showing up to church, right? I'm at least getting fed, the word regularly. So certainly that's been my baseline. And that's what we encourage others to do, to have our faith as our baseline. With all the other wellness training that's happening out there, so many of it's good stuff. It's great stuff. But what the hole we try to fill is that faith-based element. The really limitation is most of the wellness and resiliency training out there are government-led initiatives, right? And not only is there nothing wrong with that, like I said, most of it's really good, but because it's their government-led initiatives, they have to leave faith out of the equation, right? A lot of agencies don't feel they can talk about faith or have to limit it. And so it's not that there's not good things happening. That's why we, as a nonprofit, try to fill that gap and not just mention faith. We not try to be. We're very forward about it. Hey, we're going to talk about all these things. We're going to talk about trauma, PTS, all these various things, addiction, but we're going to do it through the lens of faith and has that be our foundation. Now, that doesn't mean somebody doesn't lean on their faith as a top priority. Maybe they still need to go to counseling or get EMDR or whatever the case may be, right? That's all fine and well. We want people to find hope and healing, but we want them to start with their faith.
Yes. And speaking about some of those things that people are going, we all encounter and all of that, let's talk a little bit about what will one of the first responders experience when they come to the Responders in Faith conference in a couple weeks. So talk to us
Yeah,
about
so
walking in the door the first evening all the way to the next day. Who's in the
yeah,
lineup?
We're super excited. We got this guy named Dr. Donnie in the lineup. So if you haven't heard of him, you should come check him out.
Yeah.
Now, so our you said it a little earlier, our theme this year is Bold as a Lion. So when we talk about faith and wellness for first responders, we fully recognize we are a niche within a niche, meaning it's really difficult to get first responders to come to any type of training that's health and wellness related, even though we're our own worst enemies because we all recognize those things are really important, but it's tough to get us to actually go to that type of training. So we are a faith-based first responder training for wellness, and that's again a niche within a niche. So it's even a narrower market, if you will. But we really try to deliver it in a meaningful way, and a big part of that is how we carry it out, which is the cadence of the conference with our theming. So our theme this year is bold as a lion. It's based off Proverbs 28:1. The wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. And we didn't just make that up. We didn't just look for, cool scriptures in the Bible. We did that because after, again, we've had three of these events already. I've heard story after story from police officers, firefighters, dispatchers, you name it, attending. I've heard stories not too dissimilar from you, from our speakers on stage, telling us they left our events feeling bold and empowered to share their faith. And I've heard so much of that. It was just really a no-brainer as we went into this year that we had to theme it around boldness because that's what we are hearing from the first responders coming here. And the way that's it's manifested is I had a somebody who's now become a friend. He went to our event last year and he said, "Hey, I don't know what happened there, but I've left there. I've been a police officer for 20 some years, never shared my faith. Now, not only am I sharing my faith, I'm inviting people to church, having a small group study at my house. I'm like taking prayer requests in a cruiser and stuff, So just like those stories are becoming so commonplace. It's
Oh,
incredible. So I
wonderful.
truly believe God's working in the hearts of our first responders. And if you look at just society in general, why not? Right? We live in a society that's telling people to be bold, to speak be your authentic self, speak your truth. We're saying speak God's truth, right? And be emboldened in doing that. And so if we can talk about, there's no topic taboo anymore. It's what the media tells us. And if faith is a big part of our identity, like it should be, then why in the world aren't we talking about it and sharing it with others, especially if we believe it can help them?
Yes.
So anyway, our theme is bold as a lion. We like really cool t-shirts and everything to match. So when you walk into the doors of our event, you'll see, theming around whatever our conference theme is. You'll see a bunch of people wearing our Bold as a Lion t-shirts. You'll hear awesome Christian music. We kick off all of our general sessions with really good praise and worship. So it's a Friday night, Saturday event. Friday night, we really hit on the elements that are so important to first responders. We'll have an honor guard, a local honor guard, doing a presentation of the flags. We'll be doing the Pledge of Allegiance as a group, and we'll have somebody singing the national anthem. So just really hitting on those strong patriotic elements that mean so much to first responders. Following that will be just phenomenal praise and worship music. And then our Friday night lineup, it's really just four consecutive kind of mini keynotes, kind of TED Talk style. We want to keep the content fresh. We want to keep the event to feel like it's just moving quickly. And most first responders are like me. We have minimal attention span. So Friday night, they'll be here for a couple hours, but they're hear a lot of speakers on stage, first responders, people who work in chaplaincy and things like that. So just all giving those kind of encouraging and uplifting messages centered around being bold in your faith as a first responder and what that means. Then Saturday's is the meat and potatoes of the event. So we'll again start off Saturday morning with praise and worship. And our first keynote up to bat is Dr. Donnie himself. I'm really excited about your presentation on work-life balance. What drew me to you in your presentation that I heard was that it's a meaningful, practical, very tangible approach to work-life balance. Because honestly, there's so much training out there and so many people talking about work-life balance, that honestly, some of it is just not very good and it's not practical. Where yours, and I'm not just saying this because I'm on your podcast right now, was like really meaningful, like something that I personally really connected with. And I could tell that people in the room connected with as well. So I'm really excited for you to bring that here. Following your keynote, we'll have a series of breakout sessions. So we have, I think, nine different breakouts that people can choose from. And they'll have three opportunities. So you can take three breakouts while you're here, nine different speakers, ranging from, deeper dive into your work-life balance. We have a local clinician. She and a local police officer are doing an in-depth discussion. It's called Cop and Doc Talk, where he talks about his trauma, his road to healing and recovery. And we have somebody talking about finance, because finance is such a major issue for first responders. Here in Ohio, and we're not super unique. A lot of other states are like this. First responders, most of them can retire fairly young. As first responders in this state, but with so many of them can't retire because they didn't financially plan for it. So we have somebody talking finance. We have somebody doing an incredible presentation on the importance of sleep, because most, if not all, first responders are sleep deprived. So talking about the importance of sleep, we have two breakouts that are centered on specifically marriages and healthy relationships. Because our events, we encourage everyone coming to bring somebody with them. If they're not married, bring your significant other, bring your best friend. We have people bringing, brother or sister. We've had people bring their parents before, because we want your support system, the people who are around you when you're not wearing a uniform, who are most likely to recognize any warning signs in you, to be here as well, so that you go through the same training, you're learning the same things, and they can help you be successful as a first responder. So we just have a phenomenal lineup, and we have two in our breakout track. We have two breakout sessions just for chaplains, because one thing I haven't mentioned yet is we started last year. We started doing a chaplains only conference. So this year our chaplain conference will be in November, later this year. We call our Shepherding the Sheepdogs, but our first responder chaplain program. So we'll have two breakouts this year just for chaplains as well. Then we'll wrap it up. We have Joshua Putnam coming down from the Detroit area. He's a chaplain, pastor, firefighter, kind of all the above type of guy, coming down to wrap us up with a great message on being bold in our faith and what that means. So really excited about it. We cram a whole lot into a short amount of time. And this year we're doing something a little different. Once our conference is over, we're doing an optional post-conference panel discussion with our speakers. One of the common points of pushback we get from our attendees every year is that it goes too quick, and they want more time to network and more time to connect with speakers. So we're trying to provide that this year.
Yeah, that is awesome. Oh, that's what a lineup you have with all the great topics, and also just it's hosted in a church, right? Where this is all in the
Correct.
church with the music ministry and everything with it, the breakout rooms. So it's going to be quite the event. And tell everyone where, and I'll put it in the show notes as well, but where can folks get more information on this?
Yeah, they can go to our website, which is just heroicdeeds.org, and they can register. They can go there and they'll click the link to register. We're blessed with really good sponsors. Our cost is much higher than what we charge, but we're able to keep our registration cost low at $50 a person, because we have a lot of great sponsors making it happen. And like a lot of other events, we'll have a vendor exhibit, so that our attendees who are coming can interact with those folks who support them. Beyond just high quality training and education, I say there's three legs to the table of our conference. One is we provide high quality training and education. Two, we provide an experience for them. I'm sorry, let me back up. Number one is we provide just an atmosphere where they can connect to Christ, right? We want people to feel comfortable here, to be able to let their guard down and be a little bit vulnerable when they're talking about health and wellness and their faith. And secondary, we try to hit on is that high training, the high quality training and education. But lastly is the experience. We would try to create an atmosphere here where they just feel loved and appreciated and supported. It's a time where, especially because we'll have some officers and firefighters coming here, just getting off shift. Maybe they've spent the last 8, 10, 12 hours, getting beat up, cussed out, whatever it may be. We want to walk in our doors here and just feel just loved and appreciated and supported. So we have an army of volunteers to help us pull that off, to provide that atmosphere where People are just thanking them for their service. People are, serving them snacks, bringing them drinks, just that type of supportive atmosphere. Where, because with the first responders, just for a couple of days, just forget about all the white noise they hear, from the world, from society, and telling them that we don't value them, that we don't appreciate them. So we really try to create that when they're here.
Yeah, no, that is outstanding. And the dates of the conference are
March 7th and 8th, literally next week. So it's coming up.
next week or look.
Next week.
Yeah, yes, it is.
Yeah, it's into February already. Hard to believe.
Oh my goodness. I'm looking at
Better
my
book your
big, I'm
flight.
looking, no one can hear, no one can see me looking at my big calendar up on my wall. I got the whole month calendar and I got it all blacked out. My goodness, it is. Yes, I'll be. Yes, and I'm coming in on Thursday, as we talked about.
Yeah, excellent.
Yep. And well, one thing I always like to do on my podcast, Chief, is always allow my guests to, or I ask them if they'd like to close out the podcast with a prayer to bless all the first responders out there.
I'd be honored.
All
Thank
right,
you.
let's do it.
Father, we come to you and we just thankful for the time we had the opportunity to connect, God. Just thank you for the work and the movement you're doing through the Responders in Faith Conference, God. And we just ask right now, God, just all the first responders out there, Lord, you bless them with a hedge of protection. Keep them safe, protect them, Father, and just remind them that they are not alone. For those out there struggling with addiction, with PTS, with uncertainty, which is feeling that they aren't enough or feeling that they have no hope, Father, just pray you'll be there in those dark times and just remind them that you are the God who called them to serve and you've never left them. You're always there for them to uplift them, to support them, and love them. And God, we pray now for the Responders of Faith Conference next week. We just pray you'll just fill this place up with just men and women, our first responders who are just hungry to learn more about you. And that you just create a big movement in our first responders, Lord. Just move through them, bless them, Lord, and allow them to be bold in their faith. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right. Thank you very much, Chief.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Hey, if you're a firefighter, law enforcement officer, or EMS professional who enjoys this podcast and would like some help with your work-life balance, you need to check out my Get Balance program. Not sure if you are balanced or not? Join me over at DonnieHutchinson.com and take the quiz. Together, we are going to get you balanced.